This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Starting out with your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade. March corn finished down 2.5 cents to 363.75. May corn was down 2.25 to 373.75. July corn was also down 2.25 cents to 382.25. Soybeans for March were only down 0.25 cent to 903.5. May beans were down 0.25 cent as well to 916.75. And July beans held steady at 930.5. Chicago wheat for March saw a 0.75 cent gain to 461. May wheat was down 1.5 cents to 466.75. And July wheat lost 2 pennies to 473.25. Soybean meal for March gained $1.80 to $305 a ton. May bean meal was up $1.90 to $309.20 per ton. And July bean meal was at $313.10, up $2. Soybean oil for March lost 29 cents down to $29.80 per gallon. May bean oil lost 28 cents down to $30.12. And July bean oil was at $30.45, down 29 cents. And now we'll move on to the Illinois Department of Agriculture for Wednesday's Cash Grain Reports.
This is Wednesday's Port of Grain Price Insurance prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices are mixed on Wednesday afternoon. In northern western Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly 1 to 3 cents lower at 319 to 349. Soybeans bids are up 3 to 4 cents at 825 to 857. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly 1 to 3 cents lower at 331 to 354. Soybean bids are up 1 to 5 cents at 843 to 873. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were steady at 335 to 366. Soybean bids were mixed at 840 to 890. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were steady at 872 to 884. Basis is steady at 3220 under the March. iPro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 283 to 295 a ton, up $1.80 a ton, with basis unchanged at 2210 under the March. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 2 to 3 lower at 339 to 360, with basis steady to up 1 at 2500 to 4 under the March. Illinois river barge loading elevated quoted to producer corn bids 3 to 6 cents lower at 341 to 351, with basis steady to down 3 at 2300 to 13 under the March. Soybeans ended steady to a penny higher at 861 to 874, with basis unchanged to up 1 at 4300 to 30 under the March. New crop wheat prices were mixed at 438 to 463, with basis steady to up 3 at 3500 to 10 under the July. In East St. Louis, barge loading terminal always placed their producer corn bids 1 to 5 cents lower, 357 to 381. These elevators raised their soybean prices 9 to 15 cents, quotations at 904 to 905. Soft wheat closed mixed at 490 to 495, and Milo ended the day 1 to 2 cents lower at 409 to 412. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 341 to 364, soybeans at 867 to 895. In the central part of the state, corn for Octnov delivery at 349 to 366, soybeans at 884 to 912. In the southern part of the state, corn for October-November delivery at 336 to 370, soybeans at 883 to 914, and June-July wheat at 444 to 478. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, live cattle on February were down 17 cents to 129.40. April live cattle stayed steady at 129.92, and June live cattle were at 120.15, up 10 cents. Feeders for March were up 42 cents to 143.87. April feeders were at 147.22, up 45 cents, and May feeders were up 37 cents to 148.27. Finally, lean hogs for April lost 12 cents down to 55.60. May lean hogs were at 65.60, up 27 cents. And June lean hogs also were up 27 cents to 75.82. At this time, we'll move on to the Illinois and U.S. Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Wednesday's Cash Livestock Reports.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Talk, the pork calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded 4 cents higher, in a range of $42.50 to $46, with a weighted average carcass price of $45.27. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow prices are 1 to 2 cents higher, with good demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded $27 to $32, 4 to 5 weighted $31 to $36, 5 to 6 weighted $33 to $41, and over 600 pounds $37 to $45. In the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrels of gilts country buying points were a dollar lower, with light demand for moderate offerings ranging from $24 to $31. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gilts have totaled 31,007. In the direct cattle trade, the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers on live basis trade at $126.50 to $127.50, and choice heifers on live basis trade at $127 to $128. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established, with 353 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $59.57, which is $1.39 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading lower. Choice carcasses are $219.46, which is 21 cents lower, while select carcasses were $212.79, which is 94 cents lower. An estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 119,000 compared to 108,000 for last week and 117,000 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 476,000 compared to 463,000 last week and 465,000 1 year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
A sinking farm economy and China trade talks dominated two Capitol Hill hearings as USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue and U.S. Trade Ambassador Robert Lighthizer testified before key panels. Secretary Perdue left no doubt about the dire conditions in farm country, with farm income down by half since 2013, capital off by 70%, debt rising quickly, and a world crop glut leaving little hope. Perdue told ag lawmakers net farm income will rise to just $77.6 billion this year from $66 billion in 2018. Compounded by news that a long-awaited rule to allow year-round E15 sales might not be ready for this summer driving season. Perdue was pressed on the need to get farmers help quickly.
Our Farm Bill Implementation Group formally met on December the 20th and assigned them to responsible agencies and finalized timelines for implementation. We also have already begun and are getting stakeholder input on how best to implement the provisions,
including continuous CRP signups later this year and the start of the new dairy margin program, possibly by mid-June. Perdue regrets lawmakers deferred action on disaster aid, a key for many ag regions, but took fire from key Democrats over administration plans to implement food stamp work reforms kept out of the farm bill. Longtime food stamp defender Jim McGovern threatened court action, and Ohio Democrat Marcia Fudge had this.
You say you comply with it, but you turn around and try to promulgate a rule that is in direct conflict to something we just put in the bill last year.
Perdue hit back with quotes from former Democratic presidents Bill Clinton and Franklin Roosevelt, strongly backing welfare reform. And the secretary repeated earlier warnings if Democrats kill the new U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement.
I think it would be devastating, and I hope everyone and all 434 of your colleagues understand the threat it would be to the U.S. economy, especially the ag economy, if we don't ratify that. I hope that, frankly, everyone here, who I believe is well-intended, will put partisan politics aside to vote for the benefit of the country.
Meantime, U.S. Trade Ambassador Robert Lighthizer, before the House Ways and Means Committee, was more cautious than the president on China trade talks.
If we can complete this effort, and again I say if, and can reach a satisfactory solution to the all-important outstanding issue of enforceability, as well as some other concerns, we might be able to have an agreement that helps us turn the corner in our economic relationship with China.
one that could restore normal farm trade with the world's second-largest economy after a trade war that's exacted huge losses on U.S. agriculture. A Reuters report says officials working at a health agency in Brazil have found that glyphosate does not cause cancer. The timing is interesting in that a jury in San Francisco federal court is about to decide soon whether or not glyphosate and Roundup caused a man's cancer diagnosis. This is the trial that will likely influence the outcomes of hundreds of other similar trial cases. The opening statements in the Edwin Hardeman suit against Monsanto, the manufacturer of Roundup, took place on Monday. The 70-year-old man is the second plaintiff to take Monsanto to court out of potentially thousands who will follow. A San Francisco jury awarded a separate man $289 million after determining that Roundup caused his non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Meanwhile, the U.S. Public Interest Research Group did tests that found glyphosate in samples of popular brands of beer and wine. The group found glyphosate in 19 of the 20 brands it tested, but it did say that the levels found were all below the amount that could cause harm to humans. In the follow-up of the first story this morning, the House Ways and Means Committee recently held a hearing with U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer. The ongoing trade dispute and negotiations with China were a big topic of conversation. Wisconsin Congressman Ron Kind is a member of the committee. He says there's a lot happening on the trade front.
There's a lot going on the trade front, not all of it good. Obviously, there's trade wars going on between the U.S. and China right now. With Mexico and Canada, it has an adverse impact on many of our businesses, and especially small farmers back home in Wisconsin. Our family farmers are getting hit bad after 4 years of low commodity prices. And as I mentioned in my questioning with Ambassador Lighthizer, that there are consequences to these tariffs that they're imposing and the retaliation that our farmers and manufacturers back home are facing.
Kind says the trade war is driving a large number of American farmers out of business.
Record bankruptcies for family farms last year, over 800. That trend is continuing into this year. Production agriculture is still such a vitally important industry for the state of Wisconsin, employing more people directly or indirectly. And the longer this goes on, you know, the more damage is done. So I was pressing Ambassador Lighthizer today on my concern about lost market share in these countries. And the longer this goes on, the more they pivot away from us and look to other countries. And then the cooperation in the international community, because clearly there are things we want to see changed in China. But doing it as a collective will of the international community, I think, is going to be much more effective than just the United States acting alone against China.
However, during the hearing, Lighthizer disagreed with that line of thinking.
Yeah, you know, he and the president admit that they're addicted to tariffs. They love the fact that they can unilaterally make this decision and impose these tariffs, start a trade war with countries like Mexico, Canada, call them national security threats to the United States, and not really, I think, appreciate the consequences of their action, which means a devastating blow to our family farmers because we're losing that market access. We have a surplus of dairy, of a lot of other commodities in the U.S. market. One way to clear that is by exporting. And when you lose those export markets, that means that product stays at home, price is driven down even further, and we're going to see more bankruptcies as a consequence.
In trying to get China to play by international trade rules, Kind says the U.S. had plenty of other choices.
There were other options, as I pointed out to Ambassador Lighthizer. You know, we could have joined the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement, which contained in the agreement everything that he's trying to accomplish with China right now. Protection of intellectual property, a prohibition against forced technology transfers, prohibition against joint ventures, a digital chapter, strong labor and environmental standards, elevating standards up to where we are, fully enforceable in that agreement, which is exactly what he's trying to negotiate with China right now. And yet we had it in the TPP, which they just rejected, and I'm afraid they did that for one reason, because it was President Obama's trade agreement.
Wisconsin Congressman Ron Kind. The payment of SNAP benefits was pushed up for everyone in the month of February because of the government shutdown. Coming in March, the payments might be on time for some and a little early for others, says DHS's Megan Powers.
There is nothing they need to do. They do not need to visit the offices or call the offices. Benefits will be automatically loaded onto their link cards.
SNAP payments are generally made throughout the month, so some folks will see them sooner than normal. DHS hopes that getting the benefits out a little ahead of schedule can ease any strain on budgets and purchases for those that had to stretch the dollars during the shutdown. In state news on this Thursday morning, from pizza and hot sauce to skin care and birdseed, several new exhibitors will be among the more than 50 Illinois food companies, wineries, and ag associations taking a part in the 21st Annual Illinois Products Expo this weekend, March 2nd and 3rd, at the Illinois State Fairgrounds. The Illinois Products Expo has grown and expanded each year to become a premier showcase of what Illinois companies have to offer, said John Sullivan, the acting director of the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois ag is now more than rows of corn and soybeans in the field. It is also the thousands of food processing companies that call Illinois home. And this expo is a perfect opportunity to learn about those operations and support small agribusinesses across the state. Illinois ranks first in the nation for food processing sales at $186 billion per year, and it is one of our state's top manufacturing activities. The 2,372 food processing companies in the state support more than 71,000 jobs. The food offerings, which can be sampled for free as well as purchased at the Products Expo, include fresh meat products, pizza, sauces, honey, cakes, cheeses, gourmet seasonings, and so much more, all produced, packaged, or processed in Illinois. There will also be non-food items such as soy candles and agricultural-based soaps and lotions on display and available for purchase. The Illinois Products Expo will be open on Saturday the 2nd from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and on Sunday, March the 3rd from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the Orr Building on the Illinois State Fairgrounds. Admission is $5 per person, but children 10 and younger are free. While sampling food will be free, the beverage tastings are offered at a small cost. $5 will give you 5 tastings and your own wine glass to take home. In news in the local area this morning, the Hillsboro FFA chapter kicked off FFA week last Sunday the 17th with Ag Olympics following their monthly chapter meeting. Officer elections were a part of that monthly meeting, and elected to serve the Hillsboro chapter for the 19-20 school year are Wesley Stockstill as president, Maddie Malloy as vice president, Aaron Kistner as reporter, Claire Tester as secretary, treasurer is Maria Hernandez, Joey Kaiser is the historian, Garrett Shockey will serve as sentinel, Preston Lyrela will serve as chaplain, parliamentarian is Aubrey Myers, and the greenhouse managers are Aubrey Rupert and Logan Meyer. Members had fun participating in Ag Olympics following that meeting. Some events included bale tossing, milk chugging, stick horse races, and egg toss with fresh hard-boiled eggs. Other FFA week activities included Boot Tuesday, Western Wednesday, Blue and Gold Thursday, and Flannel Friday. For this Thursday morning, February the 28th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.